You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Is the Prime Minister actually saying that taxpayers should be on the hook when he breaks the law?
Going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior.
All these deficits leading to nothing but burying Canadians in taxes.
Peter, I know I speak for all Conservatives when I say thank you. Thank you for your years of selfless service to our unified Conservative Party. We all know that Peter is someone who set his personal interests aside for the good of our party, who decided to build up and not to tear down, and our party is a living testament to his hard work. And I want to say, Peter, a big congratulations to you and your wife, Nazanin, on the birth of their third child. Fantastic. Congratulations. Just two more to go. Why the look? I don't know. What's... And I want to say thank you to the dozens of Conservative leaders from all over the country, all elected officials who are here with us this weekend. We certainly are one big, strong, united National Conservative Party. And in a little over a year, we will once again be a strong, stable, national, majority, Conservative government. Mais par-dessus tout, merci à chacun d'entre vous d'être à Halifax ce week-end. Je sais que nombre d'entre vous avaient fait un long trajet et dépensé beaucoup d'argent pour être ici. I've even heard of some folks driving all the way from British Columbia to be here. Driving. Now, I have taken a lot of long drives in our minivan with our five kids. I cannot imagine what that must have been like to get from BC to Halifax, but thank you so much for being here. I want you all to know how much that means to me and our entire team. And I'm looking out at more than 3,000 committed Conservatives, nearly 70% of whom are attending their first ever political convention. Welcome. Et je n'ai jamais été plus honoré, plus fier ou plus content de diriger ce grand parti. J'attends ce week-end depuis longtemps, et vous aussi, je le sais. It's great to be among new friends, to forge new relationships, to connect with fellow Conservatives you might not have seen for a few years, and especially in the middle of a gorgeous Atlantic summer in a city as beautiful and historic as Halifax. And indeed, we have a lot to celebrate. We are out fundraising the governing Liberal Party by a margin of 2-1. Thank you to all of you who contribute. We're nominating impressive candidates in every part of this country. And we're standing up for Canadians every single day. And we're winning on the issues that matter to Canadians. And we're winning at the ballot box, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Nous gagnons la lutte contre la taxe sur le carbone. Nous nous battons pour le libre-échange. Nous soutenons une immigration légale et ordonnée. Et nous défendons l'équilibre budgétaire. Et grâce à tout ça, nous remportons des élections à des endroits où personne ne nous donnait une chance. You know, in Chicoutimi-le-Fjord, we went from 16% of the vote just 3 years ago to 53% of the vote in the by-election in June. I know people from all over Canada might be looking at some safe Quebec seats to run in the next election for the Conservative Party. Thank you, Richard. Merci, Richard. But you know what? We didn't win by compromising. We didn't win by trying to impress people who will never like us, or by changing who we are or what we believe in. We won the best way there is to win, the only way there is to win, as far as I'm concerned. We earned it. We worked harder, our ideas were better, and we stayed true to our conservative principles. And what I'm saying is this: if we can win on our principles by staying true to ourselves in ridings like Chicoutimi-le-Fjord, there is nowhere in this country that we can't win in 2019. Ce chemin a été ouvert le 18 juin dernier, dans Chicoutimi-le-Fjord, une circonscription que nous avons perdue il y a 20 ans. C'est le travail acharné de toute notre équipe qui a contribué à cette victoire historique au Saguenay. Je suis tellement fier d'avoir dans notre famille le nouveau député de Chicoutimi-le-Fjord, Richard Martel. Et si nous restons unis, si nous continuons de travailler fort, si nous demeurons fidèles à nos principes, dans quelques mois, le chemin des victoires conservatrices va traverser tout le pays. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend is about a lot of things. It's about celebrating how far we've come in the last year. It's about affirming our principles and articulating our vision. But most importantly, it's about all the people we fight for every single day. Like a father and son I met in PEI. They own a lobster boat. They took us out on a trip there with my family, and they taught us all about their way of life and how they earn a living. They're up during the season every day, 3 a.m., no matter what the weather, braving the ocean conditions to earn a living for their families. They told me it's hard, grueling work. And they absolutely love it. They wouldn't want to do anything else. Their number one input cost is fuel, and they are absolutely terrified about what a carbon tax will do to their lives. It's about the dozens of workers at a plastics plant I visited in Markham, Ontario, who've already had to cut their work week down to five shifts a week from five shifts a week down to four, because it was getting too expensive to have the plant run every day. And the owner told me that the plant in Markham does everything that could be done just south of the border. He could move it across the border at less cost and greater profit. Now, he doesn't want to do that. He loves Canada. He loves his workers. But with rising costs, he doesn't know how much longer he can hold out. You know, I was in New Brunswick a few weeks ago, visiting the Moncton Farmers Market. I was making my way through the booths, and I saw this woman who was selling soaps, all natural, organic soaps. And she extended her hand to me as I was walking by with a troubled look in her face. And she came up to me, and she put her hand out. I shook her hand, and she looked at me, and she said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry." I was a little bit taken aback. I have had many conversations with Jill where I start off that way. So it's kind of odd to be on the receiving end. She kept apologizing. She kept looking at me saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And I thought, what on earth could this woman have possibly done? So she looked at me straight in the eye, and she just said, I am so sorry. I voted Liberal in the last election. We did share a couple of laughs about that, but the more I've thought about that encounter since then, the more I realized that it's not all that funny. Cette femme, une propriétaire de petite entreprise qui travaille fort, faisait confiance à Justin Trudeau et au Parti libéral. Elle l'a cru quand elle a dit qu'il protégerait la classe moyenne. Elle a cru qu'il avait ses meilleurs intérêts à cœur, qu'il réduira les impôts de la classe moyenne et donnerait un répit aux petites entreprises. Now, Justin Trudeau has failed this woman by failing to deliver what he promised. And those failures have consequences. She told me she fears for the future, that it's getting harder to stay afloat, that she's worried about making ends meet with new taxes and rising costs. But here's the real problem. Justin Trudeau has no idea what she or any middle-class Canadian family is going through because of him. He has no concept about how to stretch a dollar, how to make it to the next payday, how to stick it, how to stick to a monthly budget. I'm not even sure he's seen a monthly budget. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the problems faced, and he can't be trusted to fix them. But I can tell you, I do. I live in the great province of Saskatchewan. But in a lot of ways, my story begins on Cawthra Road, a four-lane road linking the Lake Ontario waterfront in Mississauga to a web of major freeways in the GTA. Someone here from Cawthra Road? I heard a couple. Oh my gosh. Two. It's amazing. Well, you'll know that now, all up and down Cawthra Road, it's a very busy street. There's apartments, there's banks, schools, warehouses, lots of businesses lining both sides of the street. But 70 years ago, 75 years ago, it was a dirt road where my grandparents, William and Eileen Enright, built a home. My grandfather was a factory worker at Massey Ferguson, while my grandfather stayed home in just a tiny one-story house. My mother, Mary, she was born first. And eight kids came after. And I can tell you, it wasn't an easy life. From a young age, my grandparents sacrificed, and my mom sacrificed with them. She actually helped raise her brothers and sisters while my grandfather worked long shifts at the factory, and while my grandmother grew vegetables in the backyard and patched together the hand-me-down clothes to be passed along to the next kid. Right after high school, my mom became a nurse. She actually got hired as one of the original nurses at the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. Before she moved to Ottawa, she saved up enough money to pay for a second floor addition to her parents' house. And after that, it must have felt like a mansion. And that's what it was like in our own family growing up. My mom simply went from sacrificing for her siblings to sacrificing for children of her own. My parents, my mom and dad, we lived in a small townhouse in Ottawa. We didn't have a lot of money. My dad would always tell us that we'd have more money if the government didn't take so much on the front end, but we got by. They had to make sacrifices too. We didn't own a car, so we had to take the bus everywhere we went. And if you think it's easy to convince a girl to meet you at the bus stop in January in Ottawa, I can tell you it's not. You have to develop a pretty good pitch. But they did that, and they made lots of choices going without for themselves so that my sisters and I could have the things we wanted. Dance for them, sports for me, lots of the little things that all of us have had to do to make choices for our own kids. My mom was my hero. She passed away last year, just before I was elected leader. But I like to think she passed away knowing that she instilled in me a lasting obligation to make life even just a little bit better for the people around me and the people I serve. To raise my three daughters and two sons with the same strength and optimism that she showed me. To give of myself so the burdens of others might be lighter, just as she did her whole life. That is her legacy to our family. I want it to be my legacy to this country. This country has bestowed such fortune and opportunity on my family that I stand before you running to be the next prime minister one generation removed from having nine kids in a two-bedroom bungalow along a dirt road. That right there is Canada, ladies and gentlemen, and it's worth fighting to protect. Mesdames et messieurs, comme l'histoire de notre parti le montre clairement, les conservateurs gagnent quand nous appliquons nos principes les plus forts et les plus fondamentaux aux problèmes modernes auxquels les Canadiens et les Canadiennes font face. Il ne se passe pas un jour sans que je me sente humblement privilégié de diriger ce parti et de suivre les traces des grands leaders conservateurs. And I am so proud to stand before you today, knowing that we are the party of Canada's first Prime Minister, the father of our Federation, and the visionary who made this land possible, the great Sir John A. Macdonald. And I think it is a disgrace that some would allow extreme voices in this country to erase our proud heritage. But it's not just our heritage as Conservatives, it's our heritage as Canadians. Because if we allow this to continue, if we're suddenly going to sanitize our history with the benefit of hindsight and knowing what we know today, then what if those extreme voices kept going? You know, the Liberal Party of Canada's elite donor program is called the Laurier Club. Now, Sir Wilfrid Laurier, Liberal Prime Minister, signed an order in council in 1911 banning black immigrants to Canada, but he was also the architect of the Canadian Navy and a pioneer of free trade with the United States. Do we hear voices from the left saying that we better take his name off of everything and rename universities? William Lyon Mackenzie King, another Liberal Prime Minister, the man who navigated Canada through the Great Depression and led the country during World War II, closed Canada's doors to Jewish refugees fleeing Nazi Germany. And his own government at the time said, "None is too many." Will the Liberals work to take his face off the $50 bill? No. But you can see how divisive this approach is, how destructive this is to our Canadian identity. We can, and we should, celebrate the giants of our history, like MacDonald, Laurier, and King, for the great things they did for our country. We can absolutely look to the past and learn from the mistakes that were made at the time while still celebrating the contributions that made Canada so great along the way. But friends, if we look back on our history and our leaders and only see their blemishes, we miss out on a beautiful story of a great country that has progressed into the safest, freest, and most prosperous in the world. Je suis devenu chef de ce parti il y a seulement 15 mois environ. Ça a été une campagne difficile et vigoureuse, et un grand pas en avant pour notre parti. Nous avons choisi le deuxième chef seulement que ce parti avait eu en 13 ans. Quand j'ai gagné, nous étions à environ 10 points derrière les libéraux. Justin Trudeau était toujours le coquelicouche de l'élite internationale et des célébrités. Mais les choses ont changé depuis. You know, a year ago, when I was traveling around the country and people would stop me and say hello, they'd shake my hand, they'd say, hey, we're rooting for you, good luck. Now, when people see me, they grab me by the hand, both hands on my arm, they look at me and they say, Andrew, you've got to beat these guys. That sense of urgency is real. And why? Because the Liberal Party is finally showing its true colors. And I'm talking about the real Liberal Party. The tax-hiking, rule-breaking, perk-loving, deficit-spending, debt-mounting, virtue-signaling Liberals Canadians have come to know and despise. Justin Trudeau tries to say that Canada's back. I say the Liberals are back. Back to ignoring the rules and abusing the privileges of power. Just recently, we saw the government interfere in a process to award a clam fishing license to a fake company with deep ties to the Liberal Party. Todd Doherty knows it's the clam scam in Newfoundland. Bill Morneau, the finance minister, introduced a law regulating pension companies while still holding millions of shares in his former family firm that regulated, that managed pensions. In 2016, we all remember, Justin Trudeau accepted a private helicopter ride to a luxury island vacation from someone who was registered to lobby his government. The prime minister broke the law, as the ethics commissioner so clearly confirmed. But hey, it was no big deal, because to Trudeau and the Liberals, the rules just don't apply to them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how Liberals have always governed the country, not for the people, but for their friends. And if Justin Trudeau is engaged in this kind of corruption only 3 years into his term, just imagine what he would get up to if he had a second term. I shudder to think about it. Liberals are also back to raising taxes and squeezing the middle class. From coast to coast, I hear the same thing. People are getting by, but they aren't getting ahead. There's only a little left at the end of the month, and everything keeps getting more expensive. But Justin Trudeau doesn't get it. The federal government should not make life more expensive. As Prime Minister, I'm going to make sure the government takes less money off of every paycheck so you can get ahead, not just get by. Les Canadiens et les Canadiennes partout au pays me disent qu'ils se demandent vraiment si leur avenir sera meilleur. En fait, plus de la moitié des Canadiens sont tous les mois à 200 près de ne pas être capables de payer leurs factures. Depuis que les libéraux ont gagné en 2015, plus de 80% des Canadiens de la classe moyenne payent plus d'impôts pour une augmentation moyenne de plus de 800 $. Et les libéraux annulaient tous les allègements fiscaux pour les étudiants et les activités des enfants. Tout ça rend la vie plus chère. Gas prices have reached record levels across the country. And what was Justin Trudeau's response? When he was asked about how this was affecting the day-to-day life of Canadians, Justin Trudeau actually celebrated it. He said higher gas prices are, quote, exactly what we want. Ladies and gentlemen, this kind of out-of-touch elitist thinking is typical of liberal arrogance. Millionaire liberals like Justin Trudeau may want to pay higher gas prices, but the hard-working Canadians that we're fighting for sure don't. And yes, the Liberals are back. Back to embarrassing Canada on the world stage and damaging relationships with important allies. Under Justin Trudeau, Canada's international trading prospects have never looked more grim. And that is a huge problem when 1 in 5 Canadian jobs rely on free trade. Now, it's true. The President of the United States is anti-free trade. And Donald Trump has been crystal clear all along that he's out to cause us pain and to steal our jobs. But standing up to Donald Trump starts by making sure that Canada is strong. We need to stop pumping cheap fuel into the American economy. We need to get our resources to new markets. We need to compete with other countries on taxation and regulation instead of rolling over. From Japan to India to Australia, Justin Trudeau has embarrassed Canada and has failed to open new markets. And those failures have consequences for Canadians. And Conservatives are going to work very hard to repair that damage. Earlier this year, I went to the United Kingdom, where I met with Prime Minister Theresa May, laying the groundwork for future negotiations for when we form government in 2019. And in October, I'm headed to India to do the same. But don't worry. I don't dance, and I'm not bringing a celebrity chef along with me. The point is, international trade and foreign affairs is a serious endeavor requiring serious leadership. It's time for the grown-ups to be in charge again. Les libéraux ont toujours été le parti des fédéralistes, paternalistes et centralisateurs. De notre côté, nous avons toujours travaillé à l'autonomie des provinces. Et nous voulons collaborer, pas de temps à perdre avec les chicanes. Et nous allons respecter le désir des Québécois et des Québécoises de se libérer du fardeau du double rapport d'impôts. « Justin Trudeau n'écoute pas ceux et celles qui en ont assez, chaque année, de devoir remplir deux rapports d'impôts. Il n'écoute pas et ne comprend pas le quotidien du monde ordinaire. Vous savez pourquoi, mes amis? Parce que Justin Trudeau vit dans son monde de Kalinurs, de licornes et des petits lapins. Eh bien, nous vous avons entendu. Nous allons agir. Le retour à la raison est proche. Quand je serai Premier ministre, les contribuables québécois ne rempliront qu'un seul rapport d'impôt comme l'ensemble des Canadiens. Sérieusement, je prends cet engagement populaire dès maintenant, car je veux faciliter la vie des Québécois. The Liberals are also back to bankrupting this country. Remember when Justin Trudeau talked about his temporary, tiny deficits? Well, turns out, not so tiny, and definitely not so temporary. This government has racked up $73 billion in new debt. But what do we have to show for it? What do you have? Your wages haven't gone up, but I know your taxes have. This failure has real consequences. Canadians don't have more money left over at the end of the month, and they have less money to spend as they see fit. And why are Conservatives so passionate about this issue? Because every year that we're in a deficit, we're borrowing money from my kids and from yours. Deficits today mean higher taxes tomorrow. It really is that simple. And not one of us, not a single one of us in this room would leave a credit card bill to those who come after us. What Justin Trudeau is doing is robbing from our children, and it's just wrong. Under my leadership, the deficits will come to an end. We will balance the budget once again and put Canada's fiscal house back in order. Ils ont des plans environnementaux qui peuvent sembler être bons, mais qui ne font rien pour réduire les émissions et qui punissent notre industrie. En matière d'environnement, les conservateurs vont maintenir de faibles émissions et continuer à améliorer notre performance environnementale, mais nous n'allons pas détruire le moteur économique de notre pays. The best way to reduce global emissions is not to shut down Canadian industry, it's to grow it. You know, here's just one example. Canada leads the world in tough environmental standards. We do so much so well at the best levels of responsible development. Here's a great example. In China, manufacturing a ton of aluminum produces 17 tons of CO2. In Canada, it produces just 2. That means we would actually grow our economy and reduce global emissions if more of that aluminum was made right here in Canada. Not punishing people for heating their homes or driving their cars, but luring investment away from countries with lower environmental standards and bringing it home to Canada. Now, speaking of pointless gestures that will cost Canadians a lot of money and do nothing for the world's climate, let me talk about the carbon tax. There is no idea in Canada that has had a worse year than the carbon tax. And I remember not so long ago when pundits and experts were writing obituaries for Conservative Party's for not supporting a carbon tax. Now, they're writing obituaries for parties that do support the carbon tax. Kathleen Wynne and the Liberals in Ontario, gone. Thank you, Ford Nation. Jason Kenney and the United Conservative Party are about to take care of the NDP in Alberta. Even Liberals are running away from it. In PEI, the Liberal government will submit a plan this fall that won't include a carbon tax. And, you know, I remember I was watching the Ontario election. And I got to tell you, one of the most frustrating days was when a poll came out that said that the people in Ontario opposed the carbon tax at a rate of 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 people in Ontario were opposed to the carbon tax. And I saw an article with one of these experts who was writing a very intellectual article in one of the major newspapers. And the gist of the article was along the lines of, and I think one of the actual quotes was, "The people of Ontario don't support the carbon tax because they just don't understand it." Now, I've traveled all over this country. There is a carbon tax revolt brewing. And I can tell you, the reason more and more Canadians don't support the carbon tax is precisely because we do understand it. And even Justin Trudeau is starting to cave, but he can't even get walking away from his own policy right. Instead of just getting rid of the carbon tax altogether, he's decided to give big businesses and big polluters a huge break. This summer, he very quietly exempted 90% of their emissions from his tax. Now, that means the single mother will still pay the tax on 100% of the gas she buys to drive to work, the groceries she buys to feed her kids. But industrial polluters and big businesses with their powerful lobbyists will enjoy a massive loophole. Now, conservatives know the carbon tax just isn't bad for big business, it's bad for absolutely everyone. And that's why, come 2019, my first act as Prime Minister will be to get rid of the carbon tax once and for all. More and more Canadians are seeing through all of these Liberal deceptions. You know, Liberals always like to try and wrap themselves up in good intentions, but their policies invariably hurt the very people they claim they want to help. They try and convince people that they're motivated by compassion. But we all know that there is nothing compassionate about their policies. There is nothing compassionate about a deficit. There's nothing fair about leaving the next generation of Canadians a mountain of new debt, with more and more of their tax dollars going to pay bankers and creditors. Il n'y a rien de compatissant à taxer la prospérité, ou à chasser les investissements, ou à fermer des usines et mettre des travailleurs à pied. Il n'y a rien de compatissant à menacer des millions d'emplois avec une attaque sans précédent contre les petites entreprises, ou à étouffer les familles qui tentent de joindre les deux bouts avec plus d'impôts. And there is absolutely nothing compassionate about allowing thousands to cross the border illegally from a safe place like upstate New York, jumping ahead of those in refugee camps, fleeing violence and tyranny, waiting for Canada's help. This failure, again, has real consequences for both taxpayers and those who are seeking to come to Canada the right way, those waiting to be reunited with a loved one, or those in dangerous places around the world waiting their turn following the rules. Those are the consequences of the Liberal failure on this file. And I won't let Liberals claim a monopoly on compassion, ladies and gentlemen, especially when it's Conservative principles that actually help people who need it the most. Now, there's been a lot of talk about diversity in the last couple of weeks, and I am so proud to be the leader of a party that has so much to celebrate, so many firsts when it comes to diversity in this country. Justin Trudeau says that diversity is our strength, but I think he's missing the big picture. The reasons why waves and waves of immigrants from all over the world, all corners of the globe, have chosen Canada generation after generation. It's because we are free. Free to worship, and free to speak, and free to believe. It's because we are open. Open to the persecuted and the oppressed. It's because we are equal. Equal as individuals, equal in opportunity, equal before the law, and equal in value. It is because of all these things that we are diverse. Diversity is a product of our strength. Our strength is and always has been our freedom. I don't think I can put it any better than the last Prime Minister to come from Saskatchewan. As John Diefenbaker said, "I am a Canadian, free to speak without fear, free to worship in my own way, free to stand for what I think right, free to oppose what I believe wrong, and free to choose those who shall govern my country. This heritage of freedom I pledge to uphold for myself and for all mankind." Those are principles that create unity, ladies and gentlemen, and there is unity in our diversity when we rally around those principles. Now, some will have you believe that our rights come from the identity groups the government puts us in. But Conservatives know our rights come from the fact that we are individual Canadians. And in our politics today, the forces of political correctness are converging on contrary ideas and even on legitimate criticism, on deeply held personal convictions and complex matters of individual choice. Justin Trudeau wants this. He wants to impose his personal views on the country and demonize those who don't accept them. But Conservatives won't let Trudeau avoid accountability for his decisions by smearing and name-calling those who dare to criticize him. Et nous savons déjà que le contexte politique au Québec serait très différent en 2019. Le Bloc et l'NPD foncent dans un mur. Merci beaucoup, Martine. Il n'y a qu'une seule alternative sérieuse à Justin Trudeau, et c'est nous. En effet, il reste sur le champ de bataille deux adversaires historiques, les conservateurs et les libéraux. Vous savez, deux partis, c'est assez. Un bon et une mauvaise. Et le contraste entre conservateurs et libéraux n'a jamais été aussi clair. Le choix se dessine déjà. Une partie à l'écoute, compétent, qui ressemble aux Québécois, le Parti conservateur. Ou une partie qui accumule les échecs, qui démontre son incompétence et qui pousse les idées de Manon Massé, le Parti libéral. Mes amis, je suis très confiant en vue des prochaines élections. Je suis sur le terrain partout et à l'écoute des Québécois. Les gens viennent vers nous. Ils veulent discuter avec nous. Ils sont intéressés par nos idées. Ils constatent que derrière l'image, le bilan de Justin Trudeau se résume en trois mots. Échec, échec et échec. Nous sommes à l'écoute de la population et la plateforme conservatrice sera la vôtre. En 2019, les idées, l'écoute et la compétence auront le dessus sur l'image, l'arrogance et les discours vides. Il nous reste encore plus ou moins un an à endurer les chocs des libéraux avant que le ciel redevienne bleu. Et ne laissez jamais personne vous dire que les valeurs conservatrices ne sont pas des valeurs québécoises. Mes amis, les conservateurs du Québec peuvent se présenter dans n'importe quelle région, la tête haute. Since the last federal election, our greatest results and achievements have actually been in the province of Quebec. And in 2019, with the same determination and pride, and with a renewed platform and a solid organization and great candidates, we will lead our team to the best results yet. Je m'engage personnellement à poursuivre les efforts pour continuer à connecter davantage avec les francophones partout au pays. Ma détermination est grande et je souhaite qu'on utilise toutes les tribunes pour passer notre message conservateur. Et c'est dans cet esprit que je n'ai pas hésité une seconde à aller sur le plateau de l'émission « Tout le monde en parle ». Et je suis toujours en vie. Mais j'ai besoin de vous. Notre caucus a besoin de vous. Ensemble, nous redonnerons au Canada ce qu'il mérite. Un gouvernement conservateur, solide et efficace, avec une équipe québécoise forte et déterminée. Ladies and gentlemen, conservatives, we are united, we're strong, we're ready, and we're winning. Across provincial borders, conservatives are coming together and winning. Look at what Jason Kenney has done in Alberta, what Doug Ford achieved in Ontario, what Scott Moe is continuing doing in Saskatchewan. They're winning, and we're winning too. Nous sommes unis dans nos principes et notre but en défendant vigoureusement les attaques envers nos libertés économiques et individuelles et offrant une vision du Canada où tout le monde peut réussir. Conservatives know that people, all people, no matter where they live or what they do, are best served when governments stand down and allow individuals, families, and communities to determine their own destiny. And you watch how Canadians will respond if we allow that fundamental belief to continue to guide us. But I need all of you. I'm going to say right now, It's going to be a lot of hard work. The Liberals and all their friends are going to throw everything they've got at us. It's going to get harder and harder. But I want you all to take it with a smile. Because all that means is that we're winning. But as you're out there knocking on doors and talking to your neighbors, I want you to allow yourselves to dream a little bit. While you're out talking to Canadians about what we're going to do, about the failures of the Liberal government and the consequences they've had on making life harder for Canadians, I want you to dream about the country that we'll be building. And think about, what if we had a government that understood that a free people making free decisions was the best way to improve the quality of life and create prosperity for all Canadians? What if we had a government that believed that there was enough space in our public debate for values and viewpoints it didn't agree with? What if we had a government that didn't always just look back into our history looking for reasons to be ashamed, but instead for reasons to be proud? What if we had a government that knew that the best way to fight against protectionism is to make Canada the most attractive place in the world to invest and to create jobs? And what if we had a government that was led by a prime minister that actually understood the everyday problems Canadians face and governed with a clear plan to help them? This is what the Conservative Party will offer. Un pays où nous ne sommes pas seulement là pour payer des taxes pour grossir la taille du gouvernement, mais là pour être servi par un bon gouvernement. A country where people aren't just there to pay taxes to a big government, they're there to be served by a good government. A country where we work with First Nations as partners in our shared prosperity instead of talking down to them with empty gestures and symbolism. A country where wealth isn't taxed and regulated and controlled, but created, unleashed, and multiplied. Where hard work is rewarded, not punished. Where the government realizes the best way to ensure that more Canadians get ahead is by lifting people up, not tearing people down. Where we can build big nation-building projects, the kinds of things that bring us closer together as a people and make it easier for one part of the country to benefit from the prosperity of another. And that is why a Conservative government will repeal the Liberal regulatory changes and get Energy East back to the table. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my positive conservative vision, where taxes are low, government is limited, but opportunity is unlimited, where freedom is celebrated and people are put before government. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're going to build together. Thank you so much for all your support. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's Conservative podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.